This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John, Lance, and Dell till 9:30. Well, no Raheel, right? He's watching the Masters. He's got second round Masters action today. So he's taking the weekend off so that he can just watch. He was listening to the show yesterday. What was he doing?
Because he's committed to excellent radio excellence, staying on top of things. And he knew that we were going to have some tremendous topics yesterday.
He called us racists because you did some plantation owner voices yesterday and ruined everybody's life.
Me and Dell did.
You and Dell.
Me and Dell did the Masters.
Plantation owner.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, one guy didn't. You know, this is problem. This is a problem when the come-up generation struggles with satire. They struggle with irony. They struggle with subtlety because everything is through text. So, like, how often do you have to you hear people say, "I need a text for sarcasm"? Where's the sarcasm emoji?
Right.
Well, sometimes you can read and you can get. Right. You can read between the lines if you understand subtlety.
You have to know your audience,
and,
too. You have to know who's writing it.
Right. But there aren't, a lot of times now, there aren't that many conversations. And unfortunately, it's leaked into everybody. You don't have many phone conversations anymore when, frankly, there are times when texts are great. There's some times where you got to have phone. It would be much faster than going back and
to actually talk to someone.
You just talk for 6 minutes and you're done.
Yeah, but I hate, text is the greatest invention ever since you don't have to talk to people and then hang up. And awkward. Okay, well, I'll let you go. You know what "I'll let you go" means? Means I'm sick of you.
If you think about it, you see who's calling now, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes. Why?
Who is this? Hello? Hey, it's Garrett. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I knew that because I saw your name.
I know. It's just, and then, okay, well, I'll talk to you later. All right. Bye. Bye.
Yeah. Right. No, that's perfect conversation. But if somebody's hard to get off the phone, you just text. That's awesome. That's all I needed. I needed to know what time. Okay, what time are we playing golf?
But there is a blend. There is a blend.
That's
all
I
need. Phone calls are needed too.
Okay, so all right. Most important story yesterday.
Well, let's just finish this for a second. Dell and I were doing our old school Hootie Johnson, Billy
Payne.
Payne, you know, who are the Masters. And we were talking about what if Dime Magazine showed up, like, what is this credential for here for Young Gravy? And, you know, all these. Right. And so Dell got to say, a few times.
I've had some time to reevaluate what happened yesterday. And speaking for the black producer community, I'm going to have to ask that we don't do that anymore.
For the black producer community.
A caller yesterday called and just said,
Tommy,
the black community, we're going to have to, we find that offensive when you do the slave owner voice. And what we found out is Dell really likes when random anonymous people speak for him.
He loves that.
And speak for entire communities of people.
You don't even need to be that random. I got an issue when people who are allegedly activists speak for me.
Right.
You don't have to be random. You could be very famous.
You could be.
Your last name could be Sharpton or Jackson.
Right.
I'm going to have a problem. Don't speak for me.
Right.
You don't represent me.
Excuse me. I'm representing the entire caucus.
Don't they, Dell? Don't they?
No, I don't know that, you know, George Lopez doesn't speak for the entire Hispanic community. No one has that except it's like the black community has. Wait a minute. Wait. Well, we got two or three people.
There was a time and a place where there was a need, and maybe there is still a need in some instances, but not when we're trying to deduce. Was that funny or offensive? We don't need a spokesperson to speak for everybody in that regard.
I don't mind
Robert De Niro speaking for me anytime he wants.
Yeah, but he's done. He's checked out of everything.
Well, I know he has, but I still want him to speak for me.
Well, white people have. We have Jimmy Kimmel. He speaks for us now.
If you're so far left, he certainly does.
You
can't be on the right and he's speaking for you.
I don't know how much does he get political?
Oh, yeah. God.
Particularly with Trump.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Well,
are you kidding?
Every comedian
yes.
is.
Yes.
I mean,
yes. Got, you can't be pro
there's
Trump.
There's too many jokes.
Well, apparently that's why LeBron is leaving Cleveland, because Dan Gilbert is pro Trump.
Oh, is that his yes. excuse?
Yes.
Now, I'm sorry. I got to go. I got to get to Philadelphia where.
I can't play here anymore because our owner likes Trump.
Guys, I was going to stay, but I was totally going to stay.
Well,
but
speaking of owners that like Trump, okay.
Oh, don't.
Okay, biggest story, Conor McGregor.
So Conor,
Bob McNair.
Okay, what did
the Masters?
What did Conor McGregor do?
Hao Tong Li is right there, and
what
he had a great round yesterday.
What did Conor McGregor do?
Conor McGregor attacked a bus, and he ruined a UFC fight.
Michael Chiesa, who's been around for a while, he's on The Ultimate Fighter. He attacked. I don't understand what they were doing. I may get Jeremy Bonner on the show later.
Well, he was throwing a dolly
Why?
Through a window. Right. I don't know. He was pissed that they were having this UFC fight, and he was being stripped of his.
He's really mad that they're being stripped, and he said, you'll strip nothing.
Right. He dropped a C-bomb on him.
You worthless C's. And I'm like, this isn't an act.
This is no. Conor was. But, okay, was the whole
you'll
thing.
You'll strip nothing.
Was the whole... You can't do that.
I don't think it was...
Because the Irish now are going to be offended. You
we
can't...
Can, we can do Irish. Just,
no,
can
listen.
Do Irish,
if Marty or Sully calls in now and says, hey, I'm offended by...
I'll say, I don't care if you're offended. Please don't set my family on fire.
No, it was not... I don't think it was... At first, I thought, oh, this is a press conference.
Is it a stunt?
No. Well, he was arrested by New York City police.
Yeah, are they in on it?
No.
Is
I don't think New York... City police arrested him. There was vandalism. There was a fight that was had to be canceled. There was an injury. I think Conor, and they stripped him of his title. I think Conor was just a mad Irish guy who, I read an article one time where he is a gang member in Ireland, and there was an interview where somebody was in the car with Conor, and they were driving down the wrong street. It's not a street where Conor's allowed. To this day, Conor's famous, but there's still some streets he's not supposed to go. And he said, you better turn it around here. We're going to have some problems with some C words. He goes, what? He goes, turn it around. So they had to whip it around. These guys saw him, and they're like, you know.
No way.
Yeah, to this day, they said Conor still is Irish hooligan. I mean, he's a straight thug. Conor McGregor is a thug. And he's fine.
Can you call the Irish thugs? Is that
yeah, you can call
white. Wait a minute.
Call white guy thug. And it's
you can call white guy thugs, that's allowed?
And Irish guys.
All right. What about troublemakers?
No, he likes to be called a thug. He wants it. So Conor, I don't think any of that was a setup yesterday. That's one story we'll get to. Then there's the Masters where Tiger's officially, he missed the cut yesterday, so
no,
he's done.
He didn't
you don't have
miss
to watch
the
anymore,
cut.
Guys.
The cut is until tomorrow
he
morning.
He missed the par cut.
He didn't miss the, there's no such thing as a par cut. He was one over, he played pretty freaking well for, I don't know, he just stopped swinging the club.
How many strokes
everything
is he
was
off?
Going right.
How many strokes is he off?
He's the just, pace. Well, he's off seven, but that's nothing at Augusta. That's nothing.
This isn't the U.S. Open.
No, at Augusta, you can make up seven.
Jordan, you're not making up
in the
on
final
Jordan
round, you make up seven.
Jordan Spieth is going wire to wire.
That is very probable.
He ain't making up anything
dude,
on Jordan Spieth.
That dude is playing his ass off.
Yeah, he ain't making up anything on Jordan Spieth.
No, Tiger's he can make up. Yes, he can. I'll tell you who I think is going to win it is Rory. Rory's three back and playing his ass off.
So that's a story.
That's a story.
And then there's one. Then there's the Houston Rockets who blew a 20-point lead. And we're tied up with 6 seconds to go. I mean, my kids had to come get me. Dad, it's down to six. I'm like, what? I was working out outside. I'm like, what? I go inside.
Wait a minute. You were working outside at 10 o'clock
working
at night?
Working out outside.
Oh, working
out. Yeah. What? I go in, and it's like they were down six with less than a minute. Two. Chris Paul gets it stolen. Two. James Harden misses two free throws. Two. It's tied. And then James Harden had this, before he got fouled, you can see now, this is going to be, we'll have to do this a little bit later because PJ Tucker was not having James's possession. There's some guys on the team who are not excited about late game possessions from James, and PJ Tucker was one of them. So Chris Paul ends up getting the ball inbounds, getting it back from Clint Capella, drives, and lays it high off the glass with 0.8 seconds. C.J. McCollum got a pretty decent look, though, for 0.8 and just missed off the rim. So Rockets win, but it was not a feel-good win. So that was a story.
Hey, you watched them walk off the floor. They weren't thrilled with themselves.
No, you lost. You were down 20. You were killing that team.
No, that's
the
second big lead they've blown in a week.
You were killing that team.
Huge lead that they've blown.
This is three of the last four games you have not played good basketball. This is not, you cannot do this. You really can't. You need to get better just to make us feel better. And then the last story.
No, the other one was they came from 19 down against Phoenix.
Yeah. And then the now they have won three of those four games.
Yeah, right. But,
you know, that's
but
great.
That was against, well, Portland's a good team. Phoenix?
Well,
what
you
the
had a
bleep?
20-point lead at home in the second half. You should
you never
do that. You saw how Portland, how seriously Portland took it. They didn't bring McCollum back into the game until they were within like four.
Oh, they were like, let's just rest him.
And, well, until Pat Connaughton decided, you know what? We're not resting. We're going to make it a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pat Connaughton.
God,
jerk.
He was making plays.
He was making everything.
And then the final story was Bob McNair was given an award yesterday for Humanitarian of the Year.
I don't think that was the case.
What was his acceptance speech, Lance?
Hello, and thank you for having me here. I just want to tell everyone I would like to apologize for apologizing. The inmate and all that stuff meant it all. And all the stuff I've said, let's put it back on the board. Take the dry eraser out and let's start putting it in Sharpie. No more dry erase. What I say, I mean, it sticks. Have a good, great day.
Oh, by the
see
way,
you guys at OTAs.
By the way, Dwayne Brown's a liar and a troublemaker. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Hey, Bob.
Bob, when's your press conference tomorrow? Since you're talking every day now, since we get quotes from you every day, when is your next press conference coming?
Can you stop?
Where was he yesterday where he was talking?
He just gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal.
Oh, thank
article.
God he gave an interview.
Yes. And thank God he talked about that again, the inmates again, because that's never old. That never gets old. When you know what? I think Jerome might be right. Here's the deal. Bob McNair wants no African-Americans on the team because none of them are going to sign with him because he continues to talk about this inmates running the prison. So it's going to be an all-white team because no African-Americans are going to want to come here and play for the Texans. Congratulations.
How about when there's clear evidence, and obviously Bob's not monitoring anything, but he calls Dwayne Brown a liar and a troublemaker, even though multiple Texans who were on that roster at the time confirmed Dwayne Brown's story. Does he just think...
You have to tell people Dwayne Brown's story for people who don't know.
After the election of Barack Obama in 2008, Bob McNair, according to Dwayne Brown and others... I think it was before practice or after practice. He had a discussion with his roster about how I know you guys are happy about this, but I'm not.
Right. We'll play. Owen Daniels sound. He was in studio, and this is the first thing that I asked. He sat down. First thing I asked him was about the controversy. So we'll hear from Owen Daniels on the others who's confirming Dwayne Brown's story. We'll do that on the other side right
Who
here.
Who is?
Owen Daniels.
Yeah. Very, very strange. Let me tell you about something else that's strange. If you start saying, you know what is weird? I'm doing the same workouts, and maybe you're a hard-time workout guy. You watch what you eat, you work out, but you notice that it's not having the same effect. Maybe it's getting harder to get through your workouts. Maybe you just notice there's some belly fat where there wasn't before, and you're like, I haven't really changed anything. I guess I'm just getting older. Well, okay, you can say that, but let me just tell you this. If your testosterone level drops, one of the things that's going to happen is you're going to have a harder time processing that belly fat into lean muscle mass. And so that's one of the telltale signs, excess belly fat that you can't get rid of. Lack of energy or a drop in energy level, that's a big one. A general drop in drive, which can affect you from a libido standpoint. It can affect you from a job standpoint. It can affect you just on the weekend with not wanting to get out and enjoy yourself and have a great time and go live life. There's so many different ways that it can impact your life. That's why insurance companies cover the cost of treatment because it's a major, major quality of life issue. Get your quality of life back. Get back to being the real you. get your testosterone checked. If you think any of these symptoms sound like you, go to my friends at Men's T Clinic. They're so good at taking care of you. I was in just yesterday. I was in and out in probably 6 minutes. I went for lunch during the lunch break. 6 minutes, boom, in and out, and I was done. Sometimes it takes a little longer. Sometimes it's even shorter. They see you. They check your vital signs. They get your weight. They find out everything, make sure everything's going fine, and they will test you about every quarter to make sure your levels are where they're supposed to be. You can get back to me. It has been an enormous success with me. The same thing can happen with you. Go to menstclinic.com. 4 locations in Houston, in Cypress, and brand new one in Pasadena, and Pearland, and an 1801 Durham and I-10 right there in the Heights. MenstTClinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. John, Lance, and Dell. We're talking about Owen Daniels. Did you find it, though? You got it? Owen Daniels was in studio with us here. Bob McNair said that Duane Brown was lying. Apparently, there was other players who have confirmed the story about Duane Brown, about Bob McNair actually telling the team after Barack Obama was elected that he was none too pleased with it. You guys may be happy, but I'm not. Here's Owen Daniels confirming that.
Barack Obama, you were with the Texans. You were at that meeting, right?
Yeah.
The Barack Obama morning. Uh-huh. What was your initial thought? Because the first time I heard it, I was like, that sounds strange. Why would you do that if you're Bob McNair?
Yeah, you don't often have meetings with the owner, honestly, as a team. You know, it's one of those things where, you'll see him beginning of the year, he comes in and talks to the team during camp, or I've had him come in a couple of times when we've had like really rough spots in seasons past, but this was a different type of meeting. I think it was outside after practice. I'm not sure what exactly, my memory is failing me, but it was one of those things where it happened and you're like,
did that just happen?
Interesting. This seems a little weird. And then you look back on it after other things come, like, oh man, did you remember what was that conversation? Like, oh man, yeah. So a couple of the guys who, my buddies who were on the team then, like, hey, do you remember that? And I had totally forgotten about it. Yeah. Didn't even think twice about it. I'm like, oh man, yeah, you're right, man. Because it was just, right after practice, quick meeting.
And it was one of those
happy
things.
For you guys. Like, wait, that's so weird. That's a
and he wasn't saying it like in a joking manner or anything, because Duane Brown, when he recapped it, last year, he said he was visibly upset and it wasn't normal, obviously, like he just said, but this wasn't like he wasn't ribbing the guys or anything. This was like for real. He just called a meeting and said, hey, you guys might be happy, but we're not.
Yeah, it was. That's the part that was just so strange that, we're in the middle of the season. And, this guy gets elected and it wasn't the guy that he was supporting, but, a lot of the guys on the team were, very supportive of Barack and exciting. Yeah, no, just in general, it was exciting time, but just an interesting take on it. And
it was in his.
Well, there it is.
There it is. So here's the thing, and again, I listen, Rude Dog says, what's the deal? What's wrong with McNair voicing his displeasure with the election of Barack Obama? That's not his guy. I get that. That is true. I don't have a problem with the Republic. How many Democrats are upset? So are they racist or whatever, because they didn't like the Donald Trump one? I get it. You're a Democrat. You don't like it. You're a Republican. You didn't like Barack Obama getting in there. But why are you addressing the team about it?
That's the whole thing. What do you mean voicing your opinion to your football team?
Yeah, and
it doesn't make any sense.
An historic day.
Have some tone. The tone deafness of the first African American president for a lot of guys who looked up to this as a monumental for an entire collection of players who say this is an amazing. Because frankly, a lot of people in society, but regardless, so you have to at least have an understanding that that is a big day for many of your players who see that as something that, that shows the ability to achieve something that was at one point considered impossible to achieve. Whatever. Even if you don't think about that, what the hell are you talking about presidential elections to your team after a practice? Ever. For what?
And that's one thing.
What does that have to do with
football? Bob McNair's awareness now is really, really, really in question. Patrick Creighton wrote an article. It's time for Bob to step out. We've been saying. I think we're all in agreement that it really is. He's hurting the organization now. I know him a little bit for working for the team, and what a great guy. There was a statue going to be built. It was actually approved by the Super Bowl committee that they were going to pay for it. A giant statue of Bob McNair outside NRG. And the city, and now the city council is, well, let's table that. Let's table that. Bob McNair, over these last few months, has killed his legacy here. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of a very little awareness. Is there an opposite word of woke? I mean,
Slept?
Well, he's sleep. Okay. Bob is asleep right now.
Well, coma might be.
Maybe. I don't know what it is, but Bob McNair, stop talking about this. Stop. It's killing you, and it's hurting the organization.
I don't care what your opinion on anything having to do with the mixed metaphors, presidential elections, anything. It doesn't matter what your own personal opinion is. If you can't see what Bob McNair is doing is detrimental to this organization, forget him and his personal stuff. This is hurting the organization. It is crippling the organization. It is going to be where players do not want to stay and play for Bob McNair because they're going to be looked at as sellouts for playing for a guy who is so, like, just be quiet and let it die.
Well,
let it all die.
Maddie, and listen, this is a two-sided coin. And this is, I'm sorry, Maddie, this is America. 2018, whatever. Greg Popovich voices his opinion all day, every day in front of his team. If you and is it a double standard? Absolutely. But if you have that side and you are pro the athlete, well, let's face it. If you're a Democrat, you can apparently say anything you want. But if you are on the other side, you can't.
What? But I don't even think this is Republican Democrat. I think this is at this point. This is. When you know that you have damage control, because you used a mixed metaphor that could be considered offensive, I don't think it was intentional.
I don't think it was either.
But at the same time, it sounded bad.
Well, and by the way, stop saying that you were saying it about the NFL. What NFL executives were you talking about? What specific NFL executives were you talking about?
That's why this isn't about double-sided corner. That was not only a misstep. This is a misstep on the heels of commentary to his same team. This is his vocal misstep on the heels of railing on a president after a practice or the election of a president. Whether you like it or not, there's a complete tone deafness in that.
Yes.
Owen Daniels just sat there and said, well, it was really weird to be doing that. You had I believe he misspoke with his mixed metaphors. I understood that. I don't think it was intentional to say that. He meant inmates in asylum. But regardless, it sounded bad. He tried to dig himself out of that and made it worse. Then he said, forget it. I don't apologize for apologizing, or I apologize for my apology.
I'm pissed. The only thing I'm mad about was that I apologized.
And this follows how... Follows
and there was one other one, too.
This follows up the Jerry Richardson thing where it's like, oh, Jerry was just kidding.
Oh, yeah. And then there's the Jerry Richardson thing. I mean, guys, this isn't about... Oh, well, the Democrats can do this and Republicans do this. This is one guy who can't get out of his own way now. This is embarrassing. Bob McNair cannot just stop. Why does he continue to talk? Shut it down and don't grant any more interview. Why is he the easiest guy in America to interview? I don't understand.
And there's something that isn't debatable. forget about the politics. He came out and said, you know what? Dwayne Brown's a liar and a troublemaker. And it turns out, at least in this instance, Dwayne Brown was not lying. We can get into why he's calling a grown man a troublemaker. He's not a child. But he flat out lied.
Wait a minute. You can't be a troublemaker if you're a grown man?
It's weird to say. I've never called a grown man a troublemaker before. It's weird.
That's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We got to know. Is troublemaker another word added that we can't use?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. It might be now. You can call somebody a troublemaker.
I just don't. I've never called a grown man a troublemaker before.
Well,
it's weird.
I don't know the rules anymore because I found out yesterday that making fun of racist was offensive.
Well, I think just getting off track a little bit, but he was like, hey, Dwayne's a liar. He likes to make up stuff. Apparently, you like to make up stuff because there are multiple guys who are confirming Dwayne Brown's story.
That looks really bad. Look, it's funny because every side thinks that only their side is 100% right and 100% wrong on this. Look, the fact is, Dwayne Brown wanted out of Houston. He came back so he could get out of Houston via trade before the trade deadline. Dwayne Brown was going to get his way out of Houston. He was going to make issues. He was going to be that's a fact. Dwayne Brown wanted out. People don't have to believe it if they don't want to. Everyone in football knows that Dwayne was doing what he had to do to try to get out of there. And he was going to make himself – he was going to make it uncomfortable
this
for him
to
be there.
This was the way he did it.
That's accurate. It's accurate. However, with that said, the other stuff with Bob McNair, it doesn't change. They're mutually exclusive.
Right.
Dwayne wanted out and was going to cause some trouble. And Bob McNair can't get out of his own way and needs to give the team to Cal
provided
and needs to
it.
Stop being the Texans' own.
Bob McNair provided it on a silver platter.
It was absolutely.
He was a perfect foil for Dwayne Brown.
Yes, he was.
But he also did the Obama thing well before Dwayne said anything. That was 2008.
Yeah.
Dwayne was a rookie in the league.
Right. Well, but Dwayne never brought it up until he wanted out of here. So it couldn't have killed him that much. Well, he took all that money, and he was holding out for more money here. And when he didn't get the more money, wait a minute. I remember back in 2008, Bob McNair said, this racist, I want out. Okay, whatever. You got an axe to grind. I get it. You want it out of here. But I'm taking anything Dwayne Brown says with a grain of salt. That said, Bob McNair, stop talking. Good Lord. 7:30 ESPN 97.5.
Honestly, when I heard that yesterday, I'm like, he must be all in now. He must be saying, I'm on the way out anyway, Cal. That made me think Cal's absolutely taking over.
But he's
over
killing
the team.
It for Cal, too.
No, he's killing it for everybody.
He's killing it for the organization. They're not going to be able to sign any African American players anymore.
Well, they still don't out checks, so they will sign them. I don't know.
Cash is cash, but
well,
it is going
maybe,
to be.
Maybe because Joe Webb signed.
It is going to be a lot tougher. And if you're worried about, hold on, what about this? No one's talking about this angle. You're worried about what kneeling or Colin Kaepernick or whatever does to your fan base. And I understand that. You got to worry about that from a business standpoint and have those conversations. That's fine. I get that. You better have the same concerns about your minority fan base and frankly, any fan base. Why? I don't care. Your fan base who says, why do I want to support this owner for this either?
Yeah.
That's there's two sides of that coin, too.
No, absolutely.
And he could be offending everybody right now.
7:30 ESPN 97.5. Let's take a break. 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, back here. I've got so many requests that let's just talk about the Masters and let's not talk about Bob McNair, okay? That's what most everybody in the city of Houston is saying right now. Bob McNair.
That's not true.
This is about McNair being old. And when you get old, you reach a point where you feel like you can say whatever you want and don't give two Fs about it. Right, Granato? Pretty much. Yeah, I'm there.
So at what point will you...
I'm already there.
Will you... Oh, okay. I was just wondering, would you pull a group of people in and tell them something that really good that they think really good happened actually sucks? Do you have that moment in you like, hey... I know you guys are excited about this, but really, it's terrible. You got one of those moments in you, too?
No, I don't. You mean like, no, I'm not. I think Bob, you think you're right about that coma thing. I'm pretty sure he has absolutely no idea what's going on in the world around him. Apparently he feels like he should tell a bunch of, there's 53 guys on the team. How many? 30 African-Americans are on the team?
At a minimum.
At least 30 to 40 of them. And he should say, you know what? This whole Barack Obama thing, I mean, you're happy about it, but I'm not. I mean, what?
Was, did I, if I'm one of the players, did I come to your office and scream Obama in your face?
Why
are we having this discussion?
And, oh, by the way, it happened. So, gosh. It just is killing the organ. It's just killing. Stop, okay? Can we stop this, please? Stop the madness. What did you think about the way Jordan played yesterday?
Michael Jordan in pickup? What are you talking about?
Jordan Spieth.
Oh, I didn't see any of it.
You didn't see any of Jordan Spieth? You watched some.
No, I didn't.
You didn't watch any of the Masters coverage yesterday?
No, the channel got changed here once you left, so it went away.
Well, if you put it on ESPN, then it was all day.
Well, maybe I wasn't focusing on it because the Bob McNair story broke, so I probably wasn't even looking at the TV at the time. We had people who want to discuss that. I didn't watch one shot after I left. After you left, I don't think I saw a shot of the Masters.
That's terrible.
I stuff to do at home, like take a nap.
What?
And do some house.
Well,
work.
I'm surprised you didn't turn the Masters on to go take a nap.
Nah, during the week, I'm pretty good taking naps without the Masters. That's what Sunday will be for. I'll probably be a little wired from something. I'll just turn it on, take a nap. Napping on Masters Sunday, a tradition like unlike any other, John.
It is a tradition unlike any other. How about Tony Finau after dislocating his ankle and popping it back in? 4 under yesterday.
This is the only golfer I will actually root for. And by the way, I'm talking quite a bit because Lance is on the phone.
Henrik Stenson had a really nice round. Charlie Hoffman. You know, we did have the call from Eric earlier in the week about Lee Hautong.
And he was right on.
He was right on. Rory is right there. This is a great... Listen, Tiger's going to bounce back today. He shot 73 yesterday. He's going to bounce back today. He'll be in the hunt. I have a feeling Paul Casey's going to bounce back. Justin Rose shot even par. Birdied 18 to shoot even par. Bubba was 1 over yesterday. He'll bounce back today. But 1 over is still tied for 29th. So it's tough out there. Hey, it's tough. No, we trust him. It's rough for a hooker. It's right, isn't it? It's tough out there.
It's hard out here for a pimp.
Right. Well, it is hard out there for a pimp. But what about the girls?
Rough for a hooker. That's not a line in that song.
Oh,
it might be actually. I don't know.
It might be. What is that? Is that Q Dog or what is that supposed to be?
It might be. Our intern says Q DeGraw is the name.
Q DeGraw.
Or is it the Coup de Gras? Is it Coup de Gras?
No, I thought it was the
Coup de Gras.
Coup de Gras.
Is it Coup de Gras or Coup de Gras?
Well, this is Coup de Gras. Okay. So let's get Coup de Gras in here. Hey, Coup de Gras.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it's the Coup de Gras. So, hey, guys. Great show, by the way. And also, fastest wait times in the business. Great.
Thanks,
thank
man.
You.
Hey, I was just listening to your show, and you know what? And it's just my opinion. I think you guys are overblowing everything Bob McNair has been saying and doing. You know, if he was smart enough to come up with that one cliche about the inmates running the prison, you know, I give him a lot of credit for that. But the guy is just an older guy. He's just speaking his mind. I mean, you can't fault the guy for being honest out there.
Well,
and,
but he wasn't honest.
That just speaks volumes of what we're becoming as a society. So sensitive, and please don't talk on this one because I'm not going to say the word, but we're becoming pussified.
Yeah.
We're very sensitive.
But don't hang up. Don't hang up. I want this. This is something where we're not just going to talk and we're going to have back and forth here. So, Del, say what you said. Just have the back and forth with Coup de Gras.
But I get what you're saying. All the inmates running the sign, all that stuff. But he wasn't honest. He said Dwayne Brown said something that was not true. And there are multiple people saying, no, it happened. So at least in one case, he's not being honest with anyone.
Right. That's an issue. And by the way, too, Q, is why are you addressing the team about Barack Obama? See, Bob McNair has lost a sense of, and Q, like it or not, that you can't say what you, you can't. It's a different world today. It is a different world today. You may have these thoughts, and if you do, you know, I'm sorry, there won't be a statue of you. I'm sorry, there just won't be. And in today's world, you have got to watch what you say because everybody's ultra sensitive. You're right about that.
And I'll give you that one about the Obama thing. Yeah, it probably didn't have anything to do with the team or anything. But I think we're just becoming very sensitive as a society. But hey, I'll end my call with this one, Johnny. You'll appreciate this one. What do you do if a woman pulls a knife on you?
You pull a gun on her, Italian.
No. You pull out two slices of bread. And her her woman instincts will take over. She'll make you sad.
You just undercut your entire.
No, argument. He didn't. Like, he said we're too sensitive, so he's not.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah.
Well, see, I don't know if it's a good strategy. I don't know.
It's not a good strategy.
You break out a couple pieces of bread, see what happens.
No. So if the E athlete had done that when the woman attacked him with that samurai sword, he would have been okay?
With the samurai?
Yeah.
Yes. She might have gotten some peanut butter and then started making him a sandwich.
She had a samurai sword and two knives taped to the bed. I don't get the sense that he was going to have any sandwiches made that day.
Well.
And she started hacking him up.
He had.
Did he break out two pieces of bread?
We didn't see that, so we don't know.
Not that I don't think he anticipated it.
She had knives to cut the corners off.
I will say this. She's the same one who called 911 to save him, so maybe there was some good there.
Maybe she saw the loaf of bread.
Also, women are substantially better people than men. A man would have just said, well, I'm just going to let you bleed out and die.
Let's take
a
look.
She, like, called 911.
Let's take a look at this little story if you think that.
No, wait a minute. You can always find some outliers. You don't think Wendy's a better person than you?
Oh, everyone knows that. Good Lord.
Nicole's a better person than me.
Yes. But you're picking the worst person who works here.
Yes.
You can't use John as an example.
That's a bad example.
It's a bad example.
I mean, there are a lot of just most everyone is better.
Have you ever used sports or allowed sports to dictate whether you would have nachos with your wife?
Well, I mean, so we did in the middle of Oklahoma Texas game.
Where does this woman rank on your?
Because she's a juggalo. I can't. She's got tattoos on her face. She looks like Marilyn Manson.
Yeah.
She's going to be low on the list.
Well, okay, thank you.
That's an outlier. That's the John Granato of women. That's the John Granato of women you're showing me there. The outlier. Who's better, Dell or Laura Beavers, who works here?
Laura Beavers.
She's awesome. Okay. But she's awesome.
Esme, who works here?
You're picking all these awesome people.
I'm just picking random women who work here.
No, you're picking the best women who work here.
You're picking sunshine and puppies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Holly or Dell?
Well,
Holly.
No, I think I win that one, to be honest with you.
What? Yeah. Holly. Holly, I picked you.
I don't beat Laura and I don't beat Esme, but I think I beat Holly.
Oh, you might. Well,
she's an Eagles fan. She's an Eagles fan.
A little edge. She's got a little edge.
Well, okay. There's an outlier. Another outlier. We can't pick anybody from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
On the good list. 744 ESPN 975 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 975. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
The only way Bob McNair can fix this is to sign Kaepernick and replace Clay Walker with a person of color. Those would be, sorry, I guess you didn't see, not Dan Holden, that he signed Joe Webb. Okay, Joe Webb is the perfect backup for Deshaun because they run the same offense. Right? Am I right or am I right?
They signed Joe Webb to play special teams.
They signed Joe Webb to run all of the RPOs. Okay, Brandon Whedon can't do it. Can't do it.
No, it's Brandon Whedon can't do it. Nothing about being white. Didn't Brandon Whedon run RPOs at Okie State? Didn't they do some of that stuff?
Yeah.
Now
he never ran.
He never ran. He either gave or threw a slant.
Right.
But yeah.
It's not like he was going to, but he could still do that.
Yeah.
Open it up and let Brandon Whedon use his legs to beat people. That's what they need to do.
Seems like a good idea.
That's a great idea. Okay, can we stop? Just because Brandon Whedon's white doesn't mean he can't run the same offense as Deshaun.
No.
And run people into the ground.
No, just because he's white, it doesn't mean it. Now, the whole thing that he is incredibly unathletic as a runner, that does mean it.
Well, but we weren't talking about that. We're just talking about...
Oh, I thought it was...
He's a white guy.
I thought it was an unathletic guy.
By the way, he's really white. I'm just worried about
he's
Eric.
He's a redhead. Well, then don't go to Eric. Go to...
Well...
You can't just constantly... Just try to get off racist comments every show.
Well, was Eric right about Li Haotong?
Yeah, I think he was trying to.
Was he right or not? Three under.
Look what he started. He almost got you in trouble.
How did they get me in trouble?
Wendy right now saying, John, please don't take the bait.
Please don't talk about Li Haotong anymore. It's let's get Jonathan in here. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How y'all doing today?
Good, man.
Yeah, so my whole thing is it's kind of a bigger thing. It's not just Bob McNair, but y'all are definitely right. There's a generational gap there that, you know, people can't just comprehend nowadays in America. It's a generational gap. And I think the biggest thing is nowadays, you know, people, they definitely would trade in their honor for respect, and then they trade in their respect for power. So, you know, once you have your power, you know, like Bob McNair and figures like him, they're not going to really care about the respect of others because they've already established what their empire is and their legacy is going to be. But just as a regular citizen, you know, moving on from Bob McNair, just regular citizens, you know, everybody feels like they should be respected. And to think that we are pussified, as that dude said, I mean, I don't know about that. It's just, I feel like there's a little bit more respect getting thrown around, which is great because everybody's all about respect. But whenever people have honor, then they are going to feel rubbed the wrong way about, like, whoa, 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 dude, you just can't say that no matter what it's about. No matter if it's about a woman with a knife, no matter if it's about an inmate in prison. You know, if people feel like, hey, you shouldn't be saying that, then that's actually a foot forward, I think, in our society. But, you know, don't get me wrong, there are older generations and there are harder times. You know what I mean? Watch The Hateful Eight. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, we've come so far and so long, especially here in Texas and the South. But, as far as Mr. McNair goes, you know what I mean? That gentleman there, I mean, there was no relevancy towards the Obama election. I mean, you know, you can't, and some companies go up to your boss and be like, hey, I'm trying to talk to this chick, or hey, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that. And he's going to look at you and say, when was the last time we've ever talked personally? You know, so, I mean, politics has always been something that it shouldn't be discussed in the workplace. But, yeah. You know, that's pretty much all of it in a sum.
All right, Jonathan, appreciate it.
I'm not sure I would
that
say.
That was a weird... Did you guys hear that?
Some of it... No,
did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear that.
I heard that.
Some of it I agree with. Some of it I don't know that
By
I
By the way, TJ, that's not me breathing into the mic when people are... I don't know what you're talking about,
I don't
TJ.
Know that the hateful eight... I don't know that I'd use the hateful eight to show, to by symbolize the, how we move... A Quentin Tarantino movie with
that was,
over-the-top
By the way,
characters.
That was just a couple of years ago. That was, and just written recently. It's not actually true how, I guess it's a depiction of what it was like back then.
Well,
but people throwing N-bombs all over the place. Yes, I guess that actually happened back then.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I don't know about using a fictional movie to, but whatever. People don't have any respect for each other anyway. And no one listens. The big problem is nobody listens. So it doesn't matter. This
here's
is just
the thing about
people
that,
yelling at each other about stuff and no one listens to anything.
Well, here's the thing about what he said, though, is that if people find that it you can't say that. But you can – it doesn't matter what you say. People, there are people who will find anything offensive. Everything offensive.
That was – I was –
people today are ultra-sensitive. And it's – I don't know that it's a great thing for – I don't know. I don't know. But all I know is, I just like to say whatever I want to say.
Well, then you probably don't like people questioning some things that they might consider offensive because you like to say whatever the hell you want.
That's right.
With no repercussions.
That's right. I like to say what, and I think everybody should be able to say whatever the hell they want.
Probably.
I think Bob McNair feels that way too.
Well,
because apparently he does.
Clearly. And he'll say whatever he wants to say.
I don't know if you should be able to say everything that you want to say, but. And I think some offensive things went on and on for years and years, and now finally people go like, yeah, this is probably not right to do this or not right to depict people on railroads and not right to do this and this. And yeah, that, ooh, that is a pretty clownish Indian logo for the Cleveland Indians. And I get all that. There are other people though, like that thing yesterday with a guy not being so tone deaf and not even understanding the Masters thing. That was just, I was just sad for him that he didn't have any comprehension of what Dell and I were doing. Like there was, and what's sad about that is that when you don't understand satire, and then you say, this is offending me because you're doing a slave owner's voice. Like, and I like to speak for my entire community. That is an example of somebody who just doesn't have the capacity for satire and understanding of satire. And yet to say I speak for my whole race is like, well, you got to slow your roll. You don't understand satire. Dell does, so don't speak for Dell. That's and there are people on, especially Twitter's made it worse, who are looking for anything they can to jump on somebody else. I don't care who it is, left, right, black, white, whatever. If you get what you want and you're ready to pounce, then you pounce. And that's just sad. Boy, that's got to be a sad way to go through life when you're just have your antenna up waiting. What is it going to be?
Well,
who am I going to get?
But that's today, Lance. I mean, did you see Von Miller catch a shark? And PETA, now wants him arrested.
Like PETA's been rolling up on people for a long time, but none of this has anything to do with the fact you and I both agree with this. No matter what your political affiliation is, if you don't, and I'm getting a text message from somebody that I like and respect a lot, but I don't think he understands. Shut the up. Just stop giving interviews everywhere. What's hard to know about that? Stop talking about knee. The whole kneeling thing was real. I understand that Trump ramped it back up before the season started, opened up a whole new can of worms. But if you're an owner, don't talk about it. Jerry Jones did the same thing. Yeah. Shut up, Jerry Jones. Right. If you don't like all this stuff at the forefront, then stop bringing it up.
Yeah.
There's no reason for Bob McNair to bring up all the things he's bringing up now, unless there is a reason for it. And I don't know what that reason is. I can't, for the life of me, comprehend. If you want your organization to start flying under the radar a little bit, then why don't you do that? I don't know. I don't know why he continues to bring stuff. Why he keeps doing
interviews. No, he's got stuff. Hateful Eight was true because Samuel L. Jackson's letter was from Abe Lincoln, who was an actual president. That's true. Hateful Eight wasn't a documentary. No, CJ, it wasn't. That caller is What's Wrong with Society.
I want to say.
No, he's not What's Wrong with Society.
The bad guy race.
He was very thoughtful. Did you watch it? He has his opinion.
Did you watch Hateful Eight?
Yes.
The bad guy racist in it is Russell from Vice Principals. Did you watch Vice Principals?
Walton Goggins?
Yeah.
Walt Goggins is one of the great character actors out there today. And he's like, his character on Vice Principals is so sassy and so good.
Yeah, I don't remember.
There's a problem with you. You know, he was just...
No, I wouldn't say it if I were you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do any lines from Hateful Eight if I were you.
No, that's not Hateful Eight. That's Vice Principals, the character, because they're both sassy.
All right, let's catch up on breaks here. 713-780-3776. Where do you think I was yesterday?
You're at Prime Social getting all the money. That's
or giving.
Well, sometimes you give, sometimes you get, don't you? And that's the thing with the cards. You don't know how the cards are going to roll. Sometimes that river, you know, you learn lessons. Sometimes you learn lessons. Sometimes you teach lessons. But that's why I'm telling you about Prime Social. Look, a lot of us love to play poker. Poker is one of those things where it gives you a chance to compete. If you're not out there on a playing field somewhere, but you miss the competition, poker is a great way to compete and make money. And it's absolutely legal if you're wondering. You pay a fee. You're a member of a club. And then you pay a daily fee to come in and play. Here's the great thing. If you get in before 4 p.m., and they're open from 11 a.m. to 4 a.m., but if you get in there before 4 p.m., you get in absolutely free. There is no fee for you to come in and play that day. You have seat fees where you get charged. You say, well, how does there's no rake on it. How do they make money? Well, they have seat fees. When you sit, you pay, but you put money on your card when you get in there. And whenever you get up, it used to be in 30-minute increments. Now when you get up, they stop it immediately. And when you jump in there, and the more poker you play, they will start to add money for free into your account for your seat fees. It's if you want to ask about it, if this is confusing you at all, I get it. Ask them about it. I can just tell you this. Pot limit, no limit, fixed limit, hold'em, Omaha tournaments every single day at noon. You can play in a tournament on Saturdays. It's a much bigger. It's usually a $20,000 guarantee on Saturday. And they've got their Sunday Fun Day tournament that starts at 2 p.m. Get in there and play some poker. Bring your neighborhood buddies in there and get a game going at Prime Social. Great food, great drinks, great staff there to take care of you in anything and everything that you need. I think you're going to love it. I can't shuffle chips. To this day, I'm still not a chip shuffler. John is. Everyone else at the table is. Maybe you are too. But I will take your money at Prime Social.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.